plan for a possible return across many different forms, all while taking the best advice from the government and relevant medical officers, and I'm pleased today to be able to inform you of our return to fixture for the first four-week block. 36 matches across rounds 2 through to 5. A standard round will consist of one Thursday night, one Friday night, one Saturday afternoon, one Saturday twilight, two Saturday nights, two Sunday afternoon, and one Sunday evening match. It all resumes on Thursday, 11 June at 7:40 p.m. as Collingwood will play host to reigning premiers Richmond at the MCG. Friday night sees Geelong host Hawthorn at GMHBA, the first time in almost 15 years the two teams have met down in Geelong. While on Saturday, there'll be four matches, starting with Brisbane Lions v Fremantle at the Gabba, Carlton v Melbourne at the MCG, while two Saturday night matches, Port Adelaide v Adelaide Crows at the Adelaide Oval, and the Gold Coast Suns will host West Coast Eagles at Metricon Stadium. Rounding out the return on Sunday has GWS Giants host North Melbourne at Giants Stadium, Sydney Swans host Essendon at the SCG, and St Kilda will play the Western Bulldogs at Marvel Stadium in a new 6:05 p.m. time slot on Fox, a time slot designed to optimise viewership after successfully introducing it in round one. Rounds 2, 3, 4 and 5 will see matches hosted across Victoria, Queensland, New South Wales and a single game in South Australia. Fremantle and the West Coast Eagles will be based out of the Gold Coast and play their first four matches in Queensland. They'll each play away matches against the Brisbane Lions at the Gabba and the Gold Coast Suns at Metricon Stadium. They'll have one home game at Metricon Stadium during the four-week period, with Fremantle named as the home team when playing Port Adelaide in round 3 and West Coast Eagles as the home team against Richmond in round 5. Adelaide Crows and Port Adelaide will resume their seasons playing against each other at the Adelaide Oval in round 2 before relocating to the Gold Coast. They'll both then play their next three matches in Queensland. As per the WA clubs, these will include away matches against the Brisbane Lions and the Gold Coast Suns, and one home game with Port Adelaide as the home team against the West Coast Eagles in round 4 and the Adelaide Crows as the home team against Fremantle in round 5. Metricon Stadium will host a doubleheader in each of round 3 and 4, with two matches scheduled at the same venue on the same day. Our key objective when constructing the initial block of the fixture was to achieve a strong start with a series of key Thursday and Friday night matches, building momentum into the early part of the season. Other considerations included seeking to minimise team travel and provide a club a more traditional block of time slots that ensures clubs have a minimum 5-day break between games. As we navigate through the remainder of the season, plus finals, we'll continue to be adaptable with our scheduling, ensuring our fixtures align with the relevant state government restrictions in place at the time. I must stress it's important for all of us to stay flexible and agile throughout this season. But we're looking forward to matches getting underway, and so you, the fans, are able to watch your clubs in action again. I really want to thank our broadcast partners, Seven Network, Foxtel and Telstra, the relevant state and territory governments and medical officers, along with the 18 clubs, for their assistance in delivering this first phase of games. Our aim is now to release the next block of games, likely to be 2 rounds at the conclusion of round 3. In closing, I want to say, as exciting it is to have games back and broadcast to fans around the country, we know it's not the same as being there in person and cheering on your teams. Thank you for your patience and your support. There's nothing in the world sport like full football stadiums and the collective roar of the crowd as you support your club. We're wanting to see that sooner rather than later, and the best way for it to happen is to continue to follow the government advice and help stop the virus. Thank you, and happy to take questions.
Hey, Travis, John Ralph from the Herald Sun here. Just on the Geelong GMHBA arrangement, was that just a no-brainer? I said they've got 3 of the first 4, so I assume that will continue through the season if no crowds are available.
Yeah, that's right, John. I mean, Geelong have been campaigning for their home games down in GMHBA for some time. The one restriction we had was the size of the venue and being able to accommodate the bigger Victorian teams in particular. We don't have that constraint, certainly not in the early part of the season, and so they can look forward to hosting some teams down there that they haven't hosted for quite some time, like Hawthorn.
Travis, Damien Barrett here. If the SA and or WA governments continue to ease their restrictions, is there scope within the rounds 2, 3, 4, 5 period to actually change those games' venues?
Look, the plan at the moment is certainly to leave them in Queensland for that period. We need to create some certainty. What it does do, though, is we know that they're only there for the four-week period if those regulations do change, and we can quickly move to scheduling them back in their home state. As we talked about earlier, it's important that we have that flexibility throughout this entire approach with the fixture. And so at any one point in time, we only have 2 to 4 weeks of certainty around our fixture.
Travis, Sam McClure here from The Age. How big a spanner was the South Australian government continuing to change its mind on things? And is it right that the AFL and the South Australian government had struck a deal that would see the two South Australian clubs fly in and fly out before the calamity in the Barossa Valley?
Look, certainly we looked at a number of different scenarios, both in SA and WA. But as we know, and as in the broader community, things change and things are changing quickly and regularly. And so we needed to move with that. Certainly the position that we've landed on now is without doubt the best position for those two South Australian clubs. They can continue to do their full pre-season in South Australia. They then can play the showdown, which is big. That's Port Adelaide's 150th year. So to be able to play that at home is really important for them. And then move to Queensland. My view is that things will continue to change. We've got to continue to move with them. We have to remain flexible. Our clubs are prepared for that. Our broadcasters are prepared for that. And I'm sure our fans are committed to it.
Travis, it's Lauren Wood from the Herald Sun here. Just a quick one on crowds. You mentioned there about potentially getting people to the footy sooner, hopefully sooner rather than later. How optimistic are you about how soon that could happen? And I guess as we're seeing restrictions ease and sort of numbers of 50 and 100 people being thrown around as gatherings, what's kind of the threshold that you would set to start letting people go to the footy?
Yeah, Lauren, I mean, things are changing quickly. You know, the first block of games has been done on the basis that there isn't the ability for crowds, for fans to attend games. If that changes, we'll be the first to embrace that, whether it's in a sense where we can fill stadiums or there's something in between that and what we're used to. We're not sure yet. Any opportunity to have fans attend games, and I'm sure clubs would love to find a way to reward members or fans if they're smaller groups, we'll certainly embrace.
Mark Stevens here, Travis. How close were the Perth teams to getting all those games away? And how delicate were the discussions there? Obviously, if they're all away games, it can sort of put some unbalance the fixture, if you like.
Yeah, Mark. I mean, I think your question is around the fact that they've got some home games in Queensland. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. So,
they were pushing for, hopefully, best case scenario, that that'd all be away games.
Yeah, certainly we tried for that. It just became a little difficult over a four-week period. And so the next decision was, how do we get equity? And so for each of those clubs that are in Queensland, they'll play one sort of home game. And what was important is not to play that home game against a Queensland team. And so that neutralises that impact as much as we can. Those clubs have been fantastic. The Western Australian clubs and the South Australian clubs, things have moved a lot for them over the last 2 to 3 weeks. They've been really supportive. They've made a number of sacrifices to be able to get to where we are today, and we're really grateful for that.
Travis Mitchell from the West Australian here. Why was Richmond sent north for a blockbuster Thursday night match to Metricon against West Coast? Was that to avoid a derby?
So we got to the point where by round five, you start to run out of games. We've had a number of matchups. We had Gold Coast played Port Adelaide in round one, and so it got a little tricky towards round five, and so we had to send Gold Coast to Melbourne and then Richmond up to Metricon. I think it'll be a fantastic game. It's a great way to kick off that round. I think everyone will be looking forward to that, and hopefully you'll get some great Gold Coast weather and a really good game of football.
Travis, Ayrton Moore here from Channel 9. You've obviously started with some big games, and you touched on crowds there as well, but is there some thought to holding some of those bigger rivalries to later in the season in the hope that you will get some people through the gate at that time?
Yeah, I mean, there's 16 rounds to go, 144 games we talk about, and so you do need to balance it over the full year. I think, though, specifically around crowds, we haven't tried to massage the fixture to push games in the back end of the season in case we can get crowds. It's difficult enough this year to get a fixture out in a way that's equitable for teams and to manage team travel and the hubs and the certain arrangements that exist state by state. And so you'll see that we haven't actually tried to manipulate, or we won't try and manipulate the fixture in that way. If that happens, that'd be fantastic. I'm sure there's plenty of good games left where we can fans that have an opportunity to get to the venues to watch their teams play. That might be all the questions, I think.
For a little while longer here.
Have you got me, Travis?
Yes.
Oh, Travis, Rob Waters from Channel 10. Have you done a doomsday scenario if the WA and South Australian governments don't ease restrictions, and how long can the hubs in Queensland last?
Yeah, Rob, I mean, I don't think we could do any more scenario planning. We've sort of covered every scenario that you can imagine over the last month. What's really important is that we've been working really closely with the clubs in South Australia and Western Australia is to how we break the season down into small components. They own that challenge as much as we do. Ideally, we get into this four-week block and things progress, and we have the ability at some point for these teams to go back and play out of their home state. It's just unknown. And so with their support and the broader collaboration of the competition, we've been able to start with this four-week block. My sense is over the 16 weeks that teams, not just those four teams, but other teams are going to have to make sacrifices and everyone's committed to that.
Travis, it's Shane Hope at AAP here. Just on Collingwood and Essendon, there's been plenty of talk about how long it's been since those sides have played down at Geelong. What are the chances that they'll end up playing at GMHBA this season?
Yeah, it certainly will allow for it in the fixture. Historically, we put constraints in the fixture process so those things can't occur because the crowds just don't fit into that venue and too many supporters get locked out. Those constraints have been removed, and so you might find that you'll see teams like Essendon and Collingwood play down at GMHBA. You may even see, if we're able to get some games away in Tasmania, that those sort of teams will travel to Tasmania, which we haven't seen for some time.
Travis, Jordan from Radio 3AW. It appears that some clubs have missed out on free-to-air matches such as St Kilda. Is there any guarantee that they will get free-to-air matches in the next block of fixtures?
Yeah, Jordan, this is the same as it is over a standard fixture process where we do try and give every club the opportunity of a mixture of sort of free-to-air and Fox games. It just happens to be in this four-week block that some clubs won't have Channel 7 games. I'm confident over the season that we'll get a similar level of equity that we've had in the original fixture that was released for this year.
Travis, it's Toby Prime at the Geelong Advertiser. You've suggested the prospect of double headers. What are the chances of double headers at GMHBA, which would obviously involve two non-Geelong teams? Is that something you've discussed or thought about?
It hasn't at the moment, Toby. We don't have a need right now to have double headers in Geelong. And so with the three venues in Victoria, it's only become about because of having the six teams in Queensland and particularly the additional four teams located really close to Metricon that has allowed us to have double headers. We've got two of them. There's a decent gap between the two games, and so we can give the clubs an opportunity to cool down and then sterilise the change rooms and whatever else we need to do before the next teams come in. And so I don't see that at the moment being something that's necessary down at GMHBA.
Hi, Travis. Simeon Thomas Wilson from the Advertiser in Adelaide. How confident are you that the SA government will have restrictions lifted by the time the next block of fixtures come out? And is there any way that the SA clubs might be able to stay in South Australia and fly out and fly back in this first block of fixtures?
Yes, I mean, that's really a question for the Queensland government, the Chief Health Officer in South Australia. I mean, we have received incredible support right around the country from state governments and from the health officers in each of those states, and a lot of guidance. For example, in Queensland, if you look at what we've been able to achieve with the hub model there, that wouldn't have been able to be achieved without the support of that government and specifically that chief health officer. So we're in their hands. All I can say is that we're ready to move, ready to adapt if things change really quickly.
Travis, just with the Sunday night 6:05 fixture, how open are you to, you know, exploring that in the long run? Oh, obviously, it makes it harder. You're still open to potentially seeing that if the ratings are massive?
Yeah, John, it works. And look, we've had one example in round one, and so this is a real opportunity to trial some things. It works, or has worked in round one without crowds. The question would be, if we do have the ability for crowds to come back at some stage during this season or certainly next year, does it still work in every market? I'm not sure. It's a bit like the Thursday nights. I can see us having more Thursday nights this year because we're not worried about school holidays and weather and access for fans And so we'll take advantage of those opportunities. I think that may that'll need to be reassessed going forward as fans have the opportunity to attend games.
Travis, with the next batch of fixturing for round six and beyond, you've indicated that you will outline that after round three. Will that just be a fortnight in advance, at least the way you're planning it now?
That's the plan at the moment. Having sort of spoken to the clubs and our broadcasters specifically, they need at least 2 weeks' notice in order to prepare for the opposition, or in the case of broadcasters, prepare the broadcast production. And so what we'll do is you'll have a minimum of 2 weeks' advance notice of a game, and at times up to 4 weeks. We'll keep monitoring this. I mean, we're one tranche of games in, and so we'll see how this plays out. If there's a better way to do it, then certainly we'll look at that as the season progresses.
Travis, it wasn't long ago that the league had to throw away the key to the Marvel Stadium roof because of issues from players and fans and broadcasters alike. Mm. Given the outdoor venue scenario now, will you have to open the roof?
My understanding is, Sam, that the Victorian government is prepared to look at us closing the roof here at Marvel Stadium. And so that is a big win if that becomes the case. Certainly throughout this winter period that we're looking at, it'll just provide a better conditions for our players.
But that hasn't been kicked off yet?
My understanding is that certainly we've received some really positive we had some really positive discussions about it. I don't know if it's actually been finalised yet, but my view is, my understanding is that it's certainly looking very likely.
It's a long way down the line yet, Travis, and a bit of water to go under the bridge, but do you have a preferred time for the grand final?
That is a long way, Lauren. That feels like a long, long way away. So right now, the grand final, if you play the season out, I think, and everything goes to plan, it's sort of, I don't know, 24th of October, that weekend, at the same time it always is. But we haven't spent too much time worrying about the grand final or the finals, to be honest, just yet. There's been a lot of effort going to this four-week block, and I'm imagining that's going to be the case each additional 2 weeks that we announce. Okay, I might leave it there. Thank you, everyone, for your support. Thanks for taking the time to join me today. It's exciting to be able to release this four-week block. I didn't think I'd ever enjoy doing a second fixture in one season, but it's been great to start talking about football again, and so we're really looking forward to June 11. Thank you.
Thanks, Travis.